Now extended through January 14th, join a clean and spacious Planet Fitness for zero enrollment and only $10 a month. With tons of equipment and free fitness training, it's the perfect place for everybody to work out.
Even me, mister, I'm so stressed I grind my teeth more than most people grind coffee.
Especially you. Give your anxiety clenched jaw a rest.
My molars will be so happy.
Start feeling fit-tacular today. Join InClub or at planetfitness.com. Zero enrollment, $10 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends January 14th, see club for details.
Welcome to the Delvin Cox Experience, the podcast which each week I'm on a one-man mission to unite our culture through diversity. I'm your host, Delvin Cox, and with me this week on the podcast, I have a special guest. Let him know who you are, brother.
What's up? My name's Adam Thoreau. I'm from Good People Doing Good, the organization, and the podcast, The Internet is a Toilet. Thanks for having me, Delvin.
No problem, brother. No problem, Adam. As always, we like to start the podcast off with the five for five. Five questions, five answers to get the ball rolling. Adam, are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Question number one. What is the best album or song you listened to in the past year? And it does not have to be new.
To be honest, no, there's no question or doubt behind this. It is the album Island Fire by the band Whale Bones. Whalebones, they have like 20,000 listeners a month on Spotify. It's really nothing to brag about, but this album, the amount of energy and life that they put into this, holy crap. It is so worth a listen. Island Fire by Whalebones, without a doubt.
Okay, I have to look this up now because I've never heard of this album or these people.
It's fantastic. It's two guys, but they record everything. So they don't necessarily play it out live, but there's these two musicians and they play everything from all the instruments to the MIDI orchestration behind them to the music. And it's fantastic. It's like old school punk rock music with heart. I love it. I love it.
Okay. I'll definitely check that out and see how it sounds. All right. Question number two. This is a simple one. Just want your feedback on it. Coke or Pepsi?
See, I've heard this question before, and you say it's a simple one, but it's not because I'm not a fan of cola. So here's the thing.
Oh,
most people say Coke, obviously, but no. My answer is Pepsi, strictly because of Mountain Dew.
That's actually a reasonable answer. I think that makes sense. Yeah, Mountain Dew's great.
Thanks. I don't like Pepsi, Coke, Diet Coke, or Diet Pepsi. Yeah, I want Mountain Dew.
I'm not a fan of Diet Coke. I'm not a fan of anything diet, like Coke Zero. Fuck out of here. Diet Coke, Pepsi Zero, Pepsi One.
Seriously, all that stuff trash to me. I have no problem drinking water. So if I need to drink water, I'll just fucking drink water.
What is the dumbest thing you've ever done as a kid?
Oh, geez. Well, I definitely came prepared for this one because I heard the question and I was like, oh man, I need the dumbest thing I've ever done as a kid was I tried to smoke dried Lipton tea that came in the tea bag out of a piece of a waterbed as a 12-year-old.
Hold on, what?
Okay, hear me out. The tea is dried up and in that little pouch.
Yes.
The piece of the waterbed was at like a 90 degree angle, and all I had to do was throw a little bit of tin foil in there and throw some dried Lipton. I was 12 years old and mimicking smoking pot.
I gotta say, Adam, this is some crackhead ass shit. I'm not even gonna bite my tongue on it. This is junkie, I need a hit type stuff we're talking about right now.
That I was that far gone as a 12-year-old.
They should have put you in a rehab. If I would have saw you doing that, I would have immediately took you to rehab. Like, no.
Okay, fun fact. So my mom and my fucking divorced dad at the time, they caught me bringing the waterbed pipe to my friend's house. So they brought me to a therapist for children. And the first time I was in like a closed room with him, he was like, so tell me what's wrong with you. And I was like, well, my parents caught me smoking Lipton tea out of a piece of waterbed. He's like, oh, cool. Check out these Grateful Dead tickets that I bought 40 years ago. And I was just like looking at my shoulder. I'm like, my mom's not here. And if she was, she would pull me out of that right away. But so apparently smoking Lipton tea isn't that bad.
Probably with light. Look here, son.
Things considered.
Look here, kid. You smoking that bullshit. Let me show you the good stuff.
Let me show you the good stuff. This, my friend, is Lipton.
I can't believe that's an actual thing you did.
I got caught. Like, that's how my mom found out I smoked pot, was because she found my piece of a waterbed with tin foil in it that had Lipton tea resin left on the residue.
There's so many things wrong with this story. One, a waterbed. I don't think I've seen a waterbed in 20 years at least.
Well, this waterbed I had was 30 years ago. So, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, it lines up. Two, like tin foil Lipton tea. Like, did your mom like see Lipton tea in her store and just try to hide it from you now? Like, oh shit, there's bags of Lipton.
Or these days she's like, hey, can you get me some Lipton?
Oh man,
both ways,
that's insane. All right, question number four, give me your top five theme songs. Now, what I mean by theme songs, like TV show theme songs, like let's go like Seinfeld theme song, Friends, any theme song from any TV show you want.
Let's just go in order. What comes to mind? Full House.
That's a good one. That's
Full House one. Is, but okay, but here's the thing. I throw out Full House for a theme song. I almost have to throw out Step by Step just because it was the same era, and I don't necessarily agree with that. So I'm just going to say Full House.
Okay.
The theme song, everywhere you look, everywhere there's a huh, and then throw that in with ba-dum bam, ba-dum bam, ba-dum bam, ba-dum bam. And then honestly, okay, I'll save this for number five.
Okay.
But I'll give it to you now just because I don't want to forget it. But my number five is the X-Men animation cartoon theme. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
I like that one. Great choice.
So two more.
Okay. So you got Full House, yep. X-Men, and we're going Tim the Toolman Taylor, Home Improvement.
Yep, we'll throw Home Improvement up there.
Okay.
Okay, if we're going classic, Growing Pains, Show Me That Smile Again.
It's funny you mention that because that dude, Alan Thicke, wrote most of these theme songs. He wrote like a whole bunch of themes off the TV shows. And I don't think he sung them.
Dude, but that's the thing. He didn't need to sing them. I honestly think it's like Stephen Parr. I've downloaded who sang that before. But the fact that Alan Thicke produced them, people will be like, why is this other Thicke getting into music? And people don't know that his fucking father is the reason he's into music. Granted, it was like 10 years ago that anybody gave a shit about Robin Thicke. But
yeah. Alan Thicke was the man. I will say that.
And I'd say my last one to throw out there, simply just because it gets me fucking excited every time I hear it, is the intro theme to South Park, because I grew up on that shit, man. I was in seventh grade when Cartman gets an anal probe came out.
Oh, okay. I remember
to the world. So I grew up on that shit. Like I was 13 when somebody grew up with an anal probe and laughing about farts and aliens. And now these days they're talking about political stuff. And I'm on the, I fucking grew up with South Park. So they're easily the reason for my last top five themes.
I have a second random question since you mentioned South Park. And I think this would be an interesting way to look at it. Which show you think is aged better, South Park or The Simpsons? They're both still going. They've both been around forever.
See, here's the thing. I will 100% say Simpson has been around longer and has been doing more. But I do think Simpsons, they're more poetic with their just their overall message. And South Park comes out, and granted, they take poetic licenses, but they say, this is fucking dumb. And also, if you do this, this is fucking dumb. And and Simpsons just pretty much say, everybody's kind of silly. So I think these days people need South Park more because they need that fucking knock inside of the head to be like, if you're blindly following something, at least question yourself why. Because I think as far as a comedy goes, the fact that you can question yourself so much while watching a comedy is beautiful. And that's what comedies used to be. And that doesn't happen anymore.
I agree with that. Yeah, I think that there is something to that in terms of the best comedy is always a comedy that you can look at yourself and say, yeah, we're being silly. I think Chappelle does a great job at that. I think Richard Pryor did. Eddie Murphy did. I think George Carlin did an excellent job at that in terms of like pointing the mirror at ourselves and making us kind of laugh at ourselves and some of the stupid things we do. So yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think South Park and The Simpsons do a great job with that in their own unique ways. Family Guy does too, but Family Guy's more of sight gags. Like,
yeah, and same thing that South Park is, no, I'm sorry, that Simpsons is more family geared as far as, you know, the reception, even though South Park is nothing but three or four fourth graders, the stuff they tackle is heavier and harder. So it's like for 20 minutes, they get you being like, yeah, holy shit. And then at the end, it's like, yeah, holy shit.
That makes sense. Yeah. All right. Question number five. Zombie apocalypse is happening, Walking Dead style. You can only take five things to go out in this world and survive. Anything you want. What are the five things taking this will survive this zombie apocalypse?
And as far as personnel, family is included?
Yes, they automatically come with you unless you don't want them to come.
Nope. And
if you don't want to come, fuck them.
They okay, die. Okay. this might be the, I don't know how what the quickest answer you've ever heard from this is, but I came prepared for this.
Okay.
Number one, a gun with that like stabby knife thing at the end.
Bayonet.
Yep. That.
Yes.
But let's give it like a modern day gun feature, still with the stabby thing.
Okay. So like I have an answer for that. A decent
pistol.
I have an answer for that.
Okay.
You play video games?
I don't.
Do you know anything about video games?
Oh, fuck yeah, man.
Okay. There's a if video we're talking game. About
first-person shooters, I was a big Duke Nukem fan.
Okay, there's a video game called Gears of War. And they have a weapon that's called a chainsaw bayonet, basically. And it's literally what it sounds like. It's a machine gun that has a chainsaw attached to it. So what they would do in the game, what you can do in the game is, when one of the creatures get close to you, I can't remember, I think they're called the locust or something like that. When they get close to you, you press the button, revs up the chainsaw, and you can cut them in half.
But the chainsaw takes gasoline?
They never established that in the universe. I'm assuming it does, but they don't. They don't. You don't have to stop and get gasoline for it. I'll just say that.
Then I might have gone a little too literal with this one. But I think for that reason, if the gasoline is a factor in my real world, I'm just going to go with a sweet long rifle with a stabby knife.
They also have a they also have a weapon. Gears of War. I love this series. I can tell you that a weapon that's just like that as well. They have it's like a machine gun. It has a long sword on it.
That's what I need.
Yeah, that, I think it's called a Lancer.
Okay, so then my first answer is a Lancer.
Okay, I like that.
I would say my second ammo. Oh, well, not to give anything away, but my second answer would be a good amount of ammo for said Lancer.
Okay.
Number three, binoculars, so I can kind of see shit coming.
Okay, binoculars. Okay.
Because I also understand my surroundings. I'm also going to throw in backpack because I can steal shit off of dead people that have been killed, right?
I agree. I like that answer because, and this is something I hate The Walking Dead about. I love The Walking Dead, but this is one thing I never noticed. Like, you have all these zombies that's been killed and things like that. You never think, they're like, let me check their pockets to see if they have something valuable or like, or things like that. You know, they died. They're dead.
The second they're dead, that's the first thing I'd fucking be doing with nothing. Like, I wouldn't even be wearing a condom when I did that. I'd be frolicking in the greens when I went through the dead zombies' pockets and backpack.
Because obviously, when they died, they didn't just empty out all their fucking pockets. That's not a thing. They're not like, oh, I'm dying. Let me empty out all my pockets. No.
Nope.
In fact, no. Just, you can check. You can kill them. After you kill them, you check their pockets and see what they have on them. You can salvage what you need. Like, maybe they're a smoker. They have lighters on them. Maybe they have cigarettes on them. Maybe they have a weapon on them.
And even if I'm not a cigarette smoker, at that point, I might be. Yeah. Who knows?
I think that's a good idea to just salvage people and just check what they have after, especially they're already dead, like zombies. Like, yeah, I would 100% check them.
Pickpockets, just kind of like pilfing cars, but like obviously not from anybody that needs anything. But I would have to guess my last answer. I don't know if you can hear this.
Yes.
But my last answer is Hoot.
Hoot.
Yep. Hoot is the stuffed animal best friend of my 2-year-old. And I know that if I bring Hoot, I will be able to calm her down in moment of a crazy zombie apocalypse, that I can keep my wife and my daughter alive because of Hoot. If she has Hoot during a shitstorm, that is the only unnecessary thing I need. As long as I've got binoculars, a backpack, ammo, and gear, and Hoot, I'm willing to keep my daughter happy and quiet while I fuck myself up some zombies.
That's adorable. I like that answer.
Thanks.
What kind of animal Hoot is? Hoot's like an
fun
owl?
Fun fact. No, Hoot is actually a fox, but she thought it was an owl when she was 6 months old, and she called it, like, or maybe a year, and she called it Hoot because she thought it was an owl. But come to find out, the same fox owl eyes have the same shape. Hoot is an owl, but she thought it was a fox as a child. And because of that, Hoot has kept the name.
Okay. Interesting. To say the least. So, tell everybody a little bit about yourself for those who don't know. You do a podcast and you got this thing, what, Good People Doing Good?
Well, it's a fun world because I do have a nonprofit that I started about 5 years ago, Good People Doing Good. And it's literally, we raise money from patrons who donate $1 to $10,000 a month. We've had people donate $1,000, but we mainly get $1 to $10 a month. And people just write out to us about people they know who are going through something, and we'll anonymously gift them something that will help them, grocery gift cards or gas gift cards, an assorted amount of things. But also, so that's my nonprofit.
Hold on, hold on.
Okay,
this we'll is start. A brilliant idea. Let's start with this first. This Please. Is a brilliant idea.
This is the most I'm proudest of, so let's start here and then we'll go on.
How did you come up with this idea? This is brilliant,
dude. I've been doing this for about 4.5 months now. I started this small idea on my own through a GoFundMe, and we raised $1,000 in 20 days just for me to set up the initial business official like bank page through everything. So now goodpeopledoinggood.org, I've got it up and running. People write out to us about nothing that they're going through, something that someone they know is going through that they don't want to have their name attached with. They'll write out to me. They're like, hey, my friend is going through this. And that they don't send us money. That's not the point. People send us questions. And then when I say, yeah, that's someone I want to help out, we will buy them like grocery store gift cards or gas station gift cards, stuff that we know it's not cash. It's stuff that we know is going to be going to things that families need. And it's never that family themselves that writes out to us. It's always someone they know. So it's never the, I deal with this. And honestly, I'm good with the internet. I know how to like reverse Google search shit. I know how to find who sends what. And when people say, my friend or neighbor is going through this, we will then take it upon ourselves to gift that friend or neighbor with a gift card that we feel makes sense for what they're going through, whether it be $100 gas card or $300 of groceries.
That is super cool. That's an awesome thing to do. What made you even come up with this concept of doing something like this?
Honestly, it was another podcast that I listened to. One of the podcasts that I listened to, Time Suck, they find a new category every week, but it's either, you know, pretty much true crime or conspiracy or just like that kind of like, holy shit, you don't know what's revolved around this. But the community in Time Suck is so beautiful that I started as a listener and then I became a fan. And then because Time Suck promoted me, they then promoted another podcast. It's just a beautiful thing, man. Like being part of a community that has thousands of people there where the people that know you will be like, hey, I know someone who's going through this. They won't just randomly reach out for themselves because it's once you reach out for yourselves and good people doing good, that's when it's no longer about you. You need to reach out about someone you know. Yeah. And it's this beautiful, since then we've heard about mothers who had their oldest son graduating from the Naval Academy that they graduated from. We've actually paid for that mother's airfare and hotel to go watch that son graduate from the Naval Academy that she graduated from. So it's an insane amount of like people giving more than they have to give. And then good people doing good, meeting them in the end. But don't let that tell you that I don't shit on shady shit on the internet. Cause there's a bunch of terrible stuff out there that needs to be shit on. But this I also do as a wonderful circle to bring it all back around.
That is amazing. That is, I commend you for that. Kudos. That's not everybody's willing to do things like that. And
I've also been a mentor for a child through Big Brothers Big Sisters for 7 years. We recently this year had to officially disavow our relationship through the program because they were asking too much of me as a mentor to come in and do multiple retests and rethings that I have done. And now that I have a child and everything, I would just rather spend time with this young boy and show him the things that he isn't given. So I've reached out to him. We're no longer together through the program, which we have been for 7 years, but we're still hanging out. We still go to arcades and video games and movies, but because of the program asking so much, we have officially dissolved that. But I still we still do amazing things through our hanging out time together.
So how does one get involved in something like that? Because that doesn't sound like something like you just walk up and do like big brother, little sister, all that type of stuff. And you did it for 7 years. That's impressive.
Well, funny you should ask, because I worked for a TV station where we would, you know, just film segments with local places and local organizations. And I was shooting the camera for this one segment. And they were just like, yeah, you know, like all we do is we just like we match mentors with children. And then what goes from there is beautiful. And I'm sitting there behind the camera. I'm like, oh, I could do this. I could do this. I just wonder how hard it could be. But meanwhile, I'm just working the camera. I'm worrying about the two shot between the host and the interview person. And then the tight shot of the host and then back to the two shot. So then I talk to the person. I'm like, how is he? Is easy is it? He's like, 2 hours a week. And I was like, you fucking kidding me? All I have to do is spend 2 hours a week with a child through mentorship program, and I get to do whatever I want to make a difference in their lives. Dude, I've introduced this kid to carnival games, fried rice, whack-a-mole, the movie Lawnmower Man. It's like insane things that you assume someone your age is definitely just already accustomed to. But no, you just hear about these kids, man. And there's a lot of, like, you know, I'm not going to show a kid Lawnmower Man on his first time, but man, we're going to rage and we're going to have fun. And I'm going to get to learn him. I'm going to be a good mentor to that kid.
So how does that even work? Because do they like, hey, here's this kid, go do what you want to do? I don't know. It just seems interesting. Like, they're like, all right, here you go. Take this kid. Do they do like an extensive background check or something like that? Because I feel like that's something they would have to do. Because like, hey, we're not going to give you a kid.
Big brothers, big sisters, they do an extensive background search on you. And then they try to know more about you. They're like, what are your interests? And I was like, well, my interests are media. I like music and I like movies. Granted, I didn't want to tell them that I hate most things that are like, as far as like, this is the number one movie, this is the number one music. But it was like, I also knew that this kid loved food. And I started with him at the age of 7 and he's 13 now. So I've brought him to food places that you can bring your own food and like cook them, or like you don't bring your own food, but like you cook your own ingredients in the hot pot. There's a lot of hot pot, like Asian places. And I just try to show him everything that really kind of makes culture, culture. And it's fun that you can, it's kind of up to you at that point. Cause like you have 2 hours with a kid every week, but it's like, what the fuck do I want to show this kid? There was this one place that was like a giant garage sale, but they're open every weekend and there's always new stuff in there. So I started bringing him there young as a kid. And then every week he would be like, can we go to the giant indoor garage sale? Whatever makes you happy, dude. You know, it's that little fucking shit that makes a huge life. And I have no problem cussing right now, but I've been a big mentor and just, it's all about that huge shit that makes a fucking big difference in the kid's life, man.
Yeah. Let me ask this, because I think this is the interesting aspect of it. Do you get to know the parents and meet the parents and things like that when you do these type of programs? How does that work? Because I know they're like, some of these kids don't have moms and dads. How does that work in terms of this? This is fascinating to me, by the way.
No worries. With my main man, who I've been with for 7+ years, CJ, his grandma was his main mentor and just source of everything. So every time I would have to reach out to somebody, like whether or not, like, do you think this is appropriate to bring him to or whatnot? I would have to reach out to his grandma. And CJ and I had such a close bond from the beginning that obviously his sister wanted something similar. And it took his similar maybe a couple of years to find someone through the program that was a female to be her, me, but I feel like in the beginning few years, CJ had me and she had nothing but CJ's Adam. So I did my best to put myself in the, at least just proverbial mentor sense that she would have, even though it was just kind of gifted upon to whatever, that she was CJ's buddy's mentor.
Yeah.
But in the end, I still communicate with him and her separately. And the grandma, she communicates through me via Facebook. Granted, she has, you know, in the past year and a half, she has more teachers and everything to go to than me, because I was kind of just that one centralized thing. Now she has a bunch of, but it's, as a lover of people and just art, I've always put myself out there as, this is fucking awesome, and this is where it all begins. So I've even introduced CJ to some stuff that might be a little PG-14 if he's PG-13, but because he's PG-13 and has nobody under him to understand any sort of lower level, I like to bring it up to like, well, hey, dude, this is more the adult level that you should be speaking. So I know I'm kind of rambling off, but like, do you understand what I'm getting? Like, I do my best to portray being a good human onto everybody I have. And then as soon as he hears that, and I do an episode with Shitty Song of the Week, I like to get on terrible fucking musicians that are nothing but that, but goddamn, brother, can make me stop talking for a sec.
Well, since you brought it up, let's talk about two things. Let's talk about your podcast. So let them know your podcast. We can get into that. And how did you come up with the concept of it? I think it's an interesting podcast, to say the least.
Well, my podcast is called The Internet is a Toilet. And you can literally find it by searching Internet Toilet. And by there, you'll be able to find everything else. But I like to find, especially as a creator of terrible things, whether it be music or scripts or film, I feel you need other people to occasionally come in and just from that world give you their perception of, you know, hey, stop talking about yourself. And if I listen to that and I hear this, I'm gonna stop talking about myself. But it just, Internet is a Toilet needs, I've always loved terrible things. I pay $3 a month for the Lifetime Movie Club.
Why?
Because I want to see more Lifetime movies.
They're awful. They are really bad.
My wife and I do. So like every time I'll be like, holy shit, there's a new LMC, Lifetime Movie Club movie on tonight. She'll be like, oh, cool. And we'll just add it to the list. I think real art sometimes gets you excited and leaves you hanging. So a good old shitty movie will leave you happy.
Yeah. So that's what your podcast is essentially about. Just terrible things off the internet.
It's about shitty shit that we don't necessarily shit on. Sometimes we celebrate it, because this most recent episode that's coming out tomorrow, I do a segment on one of my favorite YouTube videos where it's just, it's not good, but I love it. So yeah, let's just say that. He's fantastic.
So let me ask you this. You think there's something to get out of everything, in terms of what I mean by that is, whether it's bad or good, there's something to be learned from that. And there's some entertainment value in even the worst things, such as Lifetime movies. They suck. They are awful. They are very, very bad.
Agree to disagree, my friend, because they are suck and they do awful. And I fucking give them a 10 out of 10. No, so yeah, like completely. there are people that I know in this world that don't have the same sense of humor as me, so they're not going to watch my dead sorority cheerleader on a Thursday night.
That's an actual movie.
It's not necessarily. I can pull up the Lifetime Movie Club movie app.
Never mind. Don't do that.
Well, let me see. I do pay extra money to be a fan of Lifetime. But it's because I love the shitty shit that they put out. So there's plenty of organizations that do nothing but write terrible, made for TV movies.
Yes. I mean, well, and they're usually free.
Yeah. Like, but didn't Will Ferrell and there was that one big ace SNL actress recently. They did a movie, a Lifetime movie, because it would be funny. And it was, it was weird how that didn't persist, because Lifetime movies, for real people that loved Lifetime movies, holy shit, I'm going to watch them forever. But Will Ferrell and, God, I forget her name. And I know
it's not the fact that you watch these movies. That's bad enough. It's the fact that you pay money to watch these movies.
That's true.
But yeah. Like Tubi is free, right?
So is this a good segue into my love for terrible things because I am the one that introduced Brandon to Notaverbs?
Yes, it is. I think, okay, to give people context, I was on a podcast, and people should know by now, Brandon's a good friend of mine. He has a podcast called Shitty Song of the Week. And on the episode I was on, we both picked the song. I picked the old Two Live Crew song, which was terrible. And Brandon brought on this song that I've never heard from one of the other rappers who was in a later offspring of Two Live Crew called Notaverbs. He made this song about fucking being scared of flying. And it is the worst fucking song I've ever heard in my life. It is awful. It is so bad. It's like, hip hop is known for its bravado and its swagger and stuff like that. This song has no swagger. It has no bravado. Think of the worst hip hop song you've ever heard of, thought of. It's worse than that. Like, Ski-Lo is far better than this guy. This is terrible. So, yes, I lost Shitty Song of the Week. And the reason why is because Adam gave Brandon this fucking terrible, terrible song. Look it up. I think it's called, what's the name of the song?
Plane Scared. What, Plane? P-L-A-N-E.
Yes, Adam is now smoking on the fucking Nestle, what is it? The Lipton tea.
Yep, I'm the Lipton tea that my mother was coveting a good 20 years ago. Holy shit, literally, Brandon reached out to me. Okay, I'm gonna lift the curtain. Brandon reached out to me, letting me know that there was a Two Live Crew song coming soon. And I was sick with the flu. So I just simply went to a Wikipedia page, clicked a name, clicked whatever they have done, because I knew that Ferb had joined whatever down the line. Holy shit. I found Plane Scared because I found a song of a rapper that had been in Two Live Crew. And holy shit, I sent it to Brandon and he sent it back to me. He's like, fuck, I'm going to have some fun this week with this one. And I was like, oh, cool. Then he sends me a video message a week later. He's like, Delvin has some message for you. And it was just his editing software pretty much being like, Adam, fuck you. And it was so beautiful because honestly, this song is the worst fucking song I've heard in a long time. And there's nothing to it. It is so shitty. It is such a pussy fucking lyrics. Holy shit. Is this not the worst song you've heard in a long time?
Yes, it is. And I've heard some pretty bad hip hop songs. This is a awful, awful hip hop song. And like I said, it's not like Vanilla Ice, people could say it's subjectively bad, you know, but Vanilla Ice is bad, but he made a hit record. Ski-Lo, bad, but made a hit record.
But Verb even has skills. The fact that he had skills and then turned it into this?
Yes. It's
holy
awful.
Shit.
So, let me ask you this. How do you come up with a concept for each episode of your podcast?
So,
because we got to get to the rundown of your podcast. Your podcast is every week you go on there, you talk, bring up topics of things that are just truly awful, and you bring them to our ears to listen to you talk about.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'll find it, whether it's just like a random song from the 70s that was recorded as like quality content then and really is kind of surfaced now as like, holy shit, that's kind of fucking cringy. Or just assorted stuff that, yeah, it's not like we find things on the internet, whether Yelp reviews, terrible music, or just assorted stuff that's brought to my attention, and we kind of make fun of it. There's other shows that do it more harsher or whatnot.
Yeah, yours is kind of a more lighthearted take at it.
It's a lighthearted, we'll laugh, we'll make some jokes, but it's all in good fun, because honestly, you know, like I said, I grew up on odd comedy, but I've always just been a fan of just making fun of myself. So in the end, when you can't make fun of yourself, who can you make fun of? Come on, right?
That is true. That is very, very true. That's a good way to end this episode. Thank you for coming on, brother. This has been a blast.
Thanks for having me, dude. I've had a shit ton of fun, and I can't wait to listen to this.
Definitely. Let them know where to find you at. For those who are looking.
All right. If you're on Twitter, you can find me at toilet.com @toiletdotcom.
That's a lot of stuff.
Well, it's just toilet.com, one word. Or if you're on the webpage, toilet.show. Toilet.show.
How did you get both of those? Those seem like something that would have been taken already. Toilet.com. On Twitter at toilet.show.
You know, it works. That's how the internet is. Sometimes the internet's like, oh fuck, you didn't think of that first? God damn it.
Not to ask this. Has somebody tried to buy it from you yet?
Nay. I'm currently sitting on toilet.toilet to see how much money I can make for that. And odds are I've lost $18 so far. So we're okay.
I feel like there will be like some type of website that will want that particular name, like whether it's a bio bidet or something like that.
One of these days, bitcoin.toilet is going to make me the world.
Oh, man. Thank you for coming on, brother.
Thanks for having me, dude. I appreciate it.
No problem. And as always, Delvin Cox Experience, we are out. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Delvin Cox Experience. If you like more content, go on patreon.com/Delvin Cox Experience. There is more exclusive podcasts, including I'm the Podcaster, He's the DJ, that is the hip-hop podcast I do with Mr. Tim Hines, as well as The Boondocks, which is a Boondocks review show I do with my son, Delvin Jr. With that being said, I want to give a special shout-out to Patreon producers Shirley Walker, Ghost Rider UK, and Mikey Famine. Thank you. God bless.